Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer movies with queer women, inclusively defined. Queer people, mainly women, mainly cis women, but not only. And today, it's not only cis women, but first, Alicia, do you have something to plug?
Oh, yes. So before we get started, we're just going to leave you on a little cliffhanger here so you figure out what it is, even though it's in the title of the episode.
I forgot to say the name of the movie. We'll get to it.
So I had the pleasure of guesting on the Paid in Puke Seattle podcast, which is very similar to our podcast here, except they have, you know, they talk about any movie that can pass the Bechdel test, essentially. So, and we talked about Carol. So that's always fun. I got to choose the movie. I hope to do it again because it was a lot of fun.
You really can't go wrong with the lesbian Christmas movie.
Exactly. And I actually chose it because someone in the group doesn't quite like it. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. So there was, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to somebody who's like not totally a fan because, you know, it's like an echo chamber in the lesbian community. Totally. So, because
have we talked about Carol?
Yes.
Indeed. Okay. I thought we had.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings as well.
Yes.
I don't dislike it, but I also don't love it. But also, you're right, Cate Blanchett.
I love it, but it has flaws for sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just put my blinders on.
That's fair. I think we all have those.
Yes. So you can download that. It actually airs today. We're recording this on the 31st of August. So it just dropped today. So go and download it. And yeah.
What's the name of the podcast again?
Paid in Puke.
Paid in Puke, Seattle. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yes.
Very exciting. I can't wait to listen. But in the meantime, we're here to talk about a different movie that's not Carol. If you want to hear us talk about Carol, you can find that in the archives somewhere. Mm-hmm. But today we're talking about a 2021 film called See You Then, directed by Mari Walker. And one of the stars is none other than Lin Chen, who was in one of our all-time faves, Saving Face.
Saving Face. That was initially my first pick when I was guesting on the Paid in Puke podcast. But I was like, you know what? I gotta go with Carol. But I freaking love Saving Face.
Yeah, so good.
It's amazing. Yes, I was so excited to see Lin Chen in this role.
Me too.
I feel like she's pretty much a delight. So
I agree. I really like her.
Yeah, she's a great actor. So it was awesome to see.
Yes. And the other star of this movie, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, is Puya Moseni. And she is an Iranian American trans actress, trans woman. And she is also a great actor.
Yeah, I thought this film was so interesting. I really like the concept of it, which was essentially these two people get together after a decade, and they're exes. So two exes get together after a decade.
They're in their middle age, like late 30s or early 40s.
Yeah. And when I mean get together, I just mean like they go out for a drink and dinner to like catch up.
Yeah.
Not like a date.
Yeah.
But
their names are Naomi and Chris.
Yes. So Naomi is played by Lin Chen and Chris is played by Puya Moseni. And I think my initial thoughts, so first off, I do have to call myself out and say I thought this would be about two cis women. Because I don't know if it was even in the description or what. Not, but I just had watched the trailer and I was like, okay, cool. Sounds sounds like it'll be super dramatic and awesome.
It was super dramatic for sure.
Yes. So I feel like this movie, you know, exceeded the drama expectations, mm-hmm. But also entertained me in ways that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Certainly. So, well, as I said, like, I thought it might be about two cis women. So I was delightfully, you know, surprised when it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And initially, when the two characters were together, it was, you know, a seemingly heterosexual couple. Though
it was before Chris transitioned. Mm-hmm. They had been romantically involved before she transitioned.
Yes. So they had been romantically involved, before transition. And, it was interesting to see, I guess, like how it started to devolve, because I was hoping it would sort of be like a rekindling.
I had the same hope. It definitely went in a direction I wasn't expecting, and I'm not sure if I like it. I don't not like it. That's the theme for the day. I don't dislike it, but I don't love it.
I didn't love it either. Because, and I don't know if it's just because I'm not into like performance art.
which is what
this film has in it. Lin Chen's character, Naomi Liu, is a performance artist. And I just like some performance art, I'm sure I would like, but hers I did not.
Yeah. And I think struggle with performance art. Yeah. I think like this is so bad. I don't know why, but for some reason, a lot of times with performance art, I kind of get like this secondhand embarrassment, which is like terrible to say, but I just am like, sometimes it doesn't resonate with me. And I thought it was interesting, the performance art that she did. Mm-hmm. I could definitely appreciate the metaphor of it, but there was like blood involved and I don't like that because it makes me squeamish.
I think part of me, like, because I think, you know, performance art obviously can be extremely powerful and
definitely
and moving, but I felt like Naomi's character was trying to be edgy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it like, it didn't come across as something that was like heartfelt or, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it just felt like fake. Mm-hmm. Like I'm supposed to do this for shock value kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes like other people can do the exact same thing and it will really resonate.
That's true.
You know, so.
And I'm sure depending on who the viewer is too, it could resonate differently with different
people. Yeah, absolutely. But I think in general, I also just feel bad for Naomi.
Yeah.
Because she is not happy.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's ready to admit that.
Yeah. One of the things that I kind of liked about her storyline and could relate to a little bit is like this feeling of she had all this like passion for her art and then it slowly just sort of got buried by all this other stuff that was happening in her life. And she's married and has two kids and that stuff sort of like subsumed her and like took all of her creative energy. And I find that kind of storyline interesting because I can relate and I don't have kids and I'm not married, but like just the feeling of like feeling like all your creative energy is sapped by something that is not what you want to be using it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be to that, you know, it doesn't have to look like that scenario in order to feel that way. I can definitely understand that, especially I feel like with I'm sure, you know, Gen X can relate to this too, but millennials like having to just like pay the bills, you mm-hmm. know, and just like doing work because you have to eat, you have to find a place to live, you have to
pay your student loans.
Yeah, you have to pay your student loans. And it's just like, you know, I feel like we were taught as kids, like, follow your bliss. And mm-hmm. we weren't really able to do that. And yeah. it's okay. We're, you know, we've learned to deal, but it's also yeah. like that little part of like our childlike wonder mm-hmm. and all of that is dead.
Yeah. And there's something that happens when you try, when art intersects with capitalism. Mm-hmm. That like ruins the art. Well, not necessarily, sure, yeah. but it takes something. It takes something away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. It does put a layer on it. Mm-hmm. That's you know, another something else you have to look at critically. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I felt really bad for both of these characters, and I felt really bad for Naomi, but I would say probably like halfway through the movie, I was kind of like, oh my God, like, you're looking to be saved mm-hmm. and you can only save yourself. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I want to listen to this anymore. You know,
I hit a saturation point too with that. And I also felt like at times I think this is a premise that's really hard to pull off, where it's like, it takes place over the course of one night and almost the entire movie is like these two characters talking to each other.
That's true. It's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. And it's a lot of just like, just these two people mm-hmm. working through their shared and unshared traumas. mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that is just like, it gets to be too much. I felt like at a certain point I was pulled out. I just was like not that invested anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot with like Chris really wants kids, and is it her best friend or her sister? Who is that other woman?
I think maybe her sister.
Her sister. So she has like a niece or two nieces, and she's very close with them. But like, I feel like that wasn't super delved into except when Chris and Naomi like had this fight about having kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. Chris kind of calls Naomi out and mm-hmm. is like, you actually have a really wonderful life and you should be lucky that you were able to have kids and that you have a supportive husband yeah. who, you know, lets you do blah blah blah, which is like sort yeah of weird.
Lets you, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think she used those words, but like basically she told Naomi like, you should be grateful because yeah. not all women can have children. Yeah.
And then, but like Naomi was also kind of like, I think rightfully angry with Chris because mm-hmm. when they were together, it is revealed, spoiler alert, it is revealed late in the movie that when they were together, Naomi got pregnant with Chris's child and had an abortion and didn't tell her, and is telling her now on this night many, many years later, when after Chris has transitioned and after Naomi has her own family, and Chris is realizing that she wants a family too, and Chris gets really angry. And I think, like, I don't know, maybe there wasn't enough context for what their relationship was like at the time, but mm-hmm. I think it is kind of shitty to be like, you should have kept that kid so that I could have a kid now.
Yeah, that's no longer, especially when like in the character of Chris walked out yeah. on a relationship yeah. and just basically said, like, you know, they needed or she needed to be alone mm-hmm. And go through the process of, I think, probably coming to terms mm-hmm. with her transness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's not just because you want a child in 10 years
yeah.
doesn't mean that you have the right to be mad at someone for, you know, having an abortion, mm-hmm. Aborting the fetus that you and, you know, you contributed to making. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just I don't think they were in college at the time. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they were in college. Yeah. I don't think that's fair to, to have asked of Naomi or to be upset by.
Yeah, but I think like she could be upset, but just like not direct that at Naomi.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you can long for that child because it was a reality and now it is no longer one. But I also like have to keep reminding myself, as you said, this is one night.
Yeah.
You know, we don't process everything at the time it's coming through. So, you know, this is meant to be a snapshot. At least my opinion is that, you know, so yeah, I keep kind of like second guessing myself or like reminding myself like, oh wait, you know, this isn't the end all be all of their emotions or, you know, judgments.
Yeah, that's true. But can you imagine what an intense night to have? Because it's not the end all be all, but like still a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Chris is kind of, you know, Naomi, I feel like tries to get out of it. Like she tries to say like, oh, you know, like my kid is not able to sleep. I need to go home and sing to them or whatever in order for him to fall asleep, which is super sweet. But then Chris is like, oh, I'll just come with you.
Oh yeah.
And it's like,
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. I feel like she's not reading the room.
Yeah.
Slash she wants something to happen. Mm-hmm. Like she wants to have this conversation, but is too afraid to just bring it up and ruin things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she's also very much like, like, let's keep things light. Let's not have this conversation.
Yeah. Let's have it and not have it at the same time.
Yeah. It's like totally gay thing to say.
Oh my God. Yeah. As a total aside, the person who plays Chris's sister, Nicole Boucheri, I think her name is, she is in The Bold Type. Have you seen that show?
Yes.
She plays Adina, who is Kat's love interest in season 1/2 and maybe later seasons, but I stopped watching that show, so I'm not sure. I think she comes back, but I don't know.
Oh my God, I totally forgot that. I remember her from Circumstance, which we could review on this podcast.
Cool.
But yeah, I remember parts of it. But yeah, so she is definitely
popping up in all the queer content.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
She's barely in this movie, but she's there for like a second.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I know you.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about the transness of this movie, though I don't know if I have the right to talk about it.
What were your thoughts?
I'm so conflicted to be even saying this right now, because the actor Puya Moseni, you know, read the script and she thought it was fantastic and a good representation of what it's like to be trans. But I feel like they still spent a lot of time on like passing and talking about like gender affirmation surgery and things like that, where I think that's sort of within a trans binary, so to speak.
I totally agree. It's very like trans 101 for cis people type of thing.
Yeah.
But also, I thought about that too. And I sort of feel similarly, where like I don't identify as trans, and also like just like any other identity, it's not a monolith. So like representation for an identity category is like never going to be perfect because it can't be everything for everyone. So yeah. like, and you know, passing is like a real thing that is a problem. Mm-hmm. and you know, surgery is important to a lot mm-hmm. of people, not everyone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I do see what you mean where it's like, it kind of seems like whenever there's a trans character, like it always has to focus on those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And it does sort of feel like it's catering to a cis audience more than a trans audience.
Yeah, I read somewhere, I'll have to get the interview, but it was referred to as like a primer for cis audiences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I can absolutely see that. Yeah. Though, you know, with all of these movies, when I'm looking at it from a critical lens, I try not to be like so critical, and I tried to put it into perspective of like, okay, well, this is one person's experience and mm-hmm. a person of that generation.
Yeah.
You know, I think not getting a surgery was something that, you know, was unheard of. Like you usually, you know, you go through all the steps mm-hmm. and like almost to like prove your transness or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, gender affirmation surgery can be extremely important for mm-hmm. People's like safety, mm-hmm. Not only like mental health, but also like physical safety of the world around them. Mm-hmm. So I understand definitely why people do it. I just felt like it was, I don't know, but it was also like, yeah, I think they probably would talk about that at dinner had it come up.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I don't know. It's just,
I think, yeah, because they had a close relationship, and they don't really have a lot of like walls up around each other, it seems like. Well, they have some walls for sure. But they like knew each other really well, and they had that kind of like base level knowing of each other.
Yeah. And there's also that kind of like, when you haven't seen someone in 10 years, you probably like, I feel like in the back of your head, you also know you probably won't see them for another 10 years after that. So you might as well just like lay it all out on the table.
Yeah.
And if that person thinks kind of like crappy of you, then whatever, you're not going to see them for 10 years and who are they going to tell, you know?
Right. Yeah. I know. So, it's kind of both and, cause like these two people had a very intimate relationship, and then there is still that distance of time. And will probably be that distance of time again. So it's like kind of both things at the same time. Distance and closeness at the same time.
Whoa, physics.
Hashtag of science.
Of love. yeah, I think another part of this movie that I thought was hard, that kind of like... so like another part of this movie that kind of like threw me off was the amount of dialogue, because I'm not used to it, and it falls like subject to like intense critique, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like there wasn't much else to like this movie. There wasn't like a ton of like visuals and whatnot, so like I had to rely on the dialogue. And sometimes it just didn't feel like organic.
I agree. It felt very expository at times, where they were just like, because everything had to be conveyed through dialogue, almost everything. And that's a risk with this premise. And I think it's like really hard to do that and not have, or at least for me, like it's really hard to stay in that and like really feel like I'm in the story and not just thinking like, oh my God, they're talking so much.
Yeah. I remember, you were initially were like, it's like 90 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, why can't all movies be like that? But
I know when you said that, I was like, I'm not going to say anything because it was still too long.
Precious, sweet summer child. Yes. Cause it was when a movie is that format and it's mostly dialogue. Yeah. 90 minutes is too long, but it's also like, again, it's, I have to keep reminding myself, like, it's a snapshot, right? Yeah. Of these people's lives, and they're not going to, you know, solve everything all at once. Mm-hmm. Though I guess two parts of it are from outside of the timeline of the one night.
Oh yeah. The performance art part. And then the part where she's with her nieces in the field or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's probably like 5 minutes in total at the end. But it sort of like rolls it up, and I don't want to say puts a bow on it, but it wraps it up.
Yeah. That's true.
To kind of show you where these characters are in their grief.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good word. They are experiencing several different kinds of griefs, the both of them.
Yeah. It makes me think, like, I feel like I've been in, you know, their situation before, where I'm like, I have an ex and I need to tell them what they did wrong. And kind of like, but not like in a very like pointed way, but just like, hey, been thinking about you a lot lately. Haha. Talked about you in therapy. How's it going? Oh my God, I will not be shamed.
This is the best. Thank you for making me laugh.
I did it recently, like a couple months ago. Really? To be honest. Yeah. There was this person I dated, like on and off in college, and it was like cray cray.
Oh wow.
It was like so turbulent and bad, and really like messed me up for like several years, and like I was unpacking it for a long time. And I finally like found them on Facebook, and I sent them a friend request, and I just sent them a message like, hey, for some reason I've been thinking about you recently, and you know, do you remember me, first of all? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not to like in a totally like blamey way, but basically like, I've been thinking of you and how our relationship has impacted me over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, and it gets a conversation going. I feel like I can't leave things unsaid. So like, I get where these people are coming from.
Yeah. Also, sorry to laugh at that. It just sounded so funny when you said that you had to tell your exes what they did wrong.
I don't know. It sounds like I'm like hunting them down, like, and you, another thing. No, but you know, I've done it with you know, friendships too, where like we've had a falling out and then like we reconnect again. And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck was I thinking? So sorry, I was a dick that time. Like, can we try again? And you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You
know?
But I
personal growth.
Yeah.
Growth.
Yeah. I always feel like but like there's this like hole sort of like if it's not resolved to not be able to tell them something.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that says something about me having to have the last word.
You can unpack that later.
I'll unpack that later, therapist Sarah.
I would be a terrible therapist.
You'd laugh at all your clients.
I would.
You're like, no way.
You could. So sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm really not offended. Because the way I said it, it really was like I'm pointing at them and being like, hey, you. Like I hunted them down at their house, like, waited outside. And then I left a like a bag of dog poop on their lawn. No, really, it was just like a Facebook message. Oh my God. Speaking of really embarrassing things.
Okay.
All of the performance art. So I know we already talked about that, but even the stuff that we didn't see that was just referenced.
Oh,
like
yeah.
How Naomi shoots darts out of her vagina. First of
all. Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about that. That was so funny. That was the part I laughed in this movie. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Amazing. And
not only like just darts coming out of the vagina, Excellent.
I did have, probably. Yeah, I had the thought, like, how?
how did you? It has to be cylindrical at some point, and then it has like a needle on it. I don't know. I'll test it out later.
Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot about that. It was the best part of the whole movie.
And she's, I was going to say throwing them, but really ejaculating? No. just shooting.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I guess it's the same thing as ejaculating. Like, no, if there's some kind of, there wasn't any liquid coming out. How does she do it then?
Muscles. She's no, flexing. What? She's no. flexing out a dart.
I don't get it.
All right, I'm going to do a diagram. So this is
the I'm really laughing. This episode is like,
and then there's muscles, and the muscles will like
go. I understand. Out this way. I understand the concept. Oh, okay. I just got like I just don't think I could do that. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, I certainly could not.
So that's why I don't understand how like anyone could do it, because I can't. And
are you trying like works. Right now? You feel yeah, you're flexing a little bit. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I have some darts. Just trying to throw them. But it's not working.
And she throws them, shoots them at balloon penises for art.
Yeah. Hashtag art, hashtag science.
Hashtag fart. Like, I don't get this. Hashtag
fart. Truly.
And then there's another one where she slowly and meticulously puts on makeup and then masturbates.
Yeah.
Which I could kind of get into, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like self-love and like, you know, going on a date by yourself, making yourself look all like nice and you're feeling yourself. Yeah. You know, yeah, totally. Whatever.
Except that it's for an audience.
Yeah.
Which is like fine.
Well, also fine. Yeah. It's just, I could not imagine masturbating in front of an audience.
Yeah.
No, thank neither, you.
But, I say more power to you if that's what you want to do.
Yes. I mean,
some of us clearly, are repressed, I guess.
I know. Clearly it had an effect.
Yeah.
I also kind of felt bad for Naomi's husband in this movie.
Why? I forget what happened with him.
Well,
he came to the performance.
He did come to the performance, and he looked really sweet.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't know about the abortion. Or maybe. Something.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe he was just really affected by her art.
Yeah. I guess before, just the way that the reason why I felt bad for him was just the way Naomi was talking about him.
Oh.
She was like, I haven't had an adult conversation in months. Jim's not an adult.
Oh yeah. Rude.
I think that's his name anyway. And that like she hasn't had any real sex in like years, blah blah blah. And I'm just kind of like, why are straight women like this?
Also, like, so sad that Lin Chen is not queer in this movie.
I know. False advertising.
Yeah, false advertising.
Just kidding.
Not really, but sort of.
Oh yeah, we should probably say where we watched this.
Oh yeah. We bought virtual tickets to LA Outfest, which is Los Angeles Queer Film Festival. And that is a silver lining to everything going virtual, is that you can stream things that are technically taking place in other cities.
So in your home. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We love accessibility. Keep it. Please.
For sure. Like, you're still making money.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. And it seems to be going around all the film festival circuits. Mm-hmm. So if you have one coming up in your area, specifically a, you know, queer film festival, mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be on there.
Yeah. And it also has a really cool poster or like graphic for its.
Yeah, I like it too. It's like
illustrated.
Yeah, I almost said animated.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It kind of it like
yeah.
It's
same.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. At first, I thought it was just blurry, but it's not. It wasn't my eyes deceiving me. It's illustrated. One of the things I wrote down of this movie that made me think a lot is there's like this theme of the choices that we make to keep our own narratives going. Because I think both characters are guilty of this.
Totally. It's a human thing to do, I think.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, like self-preserving, I guess. And yeah, it's kind of like, you got to do what you got to do. You got to tell the story you have to tell in order to live with yourself.
Yeah.
If it's that dire.
Well, and also we all have ideas of our, of who we are and who ourselves are. And like stories, those ideas are made up of the stories we tell ourselves. And some of them are true and maybe some of them aren't, but what is truth anyway?
Well, I have some facts. So
yeah, well, facts exist, but like personal truths are maybe a little bit more nebulous.
Oh, I know. I was just trying to make a terrible segue.
Okay, facts.
Facts. Okay. So as you had said in the beginning, this is directed by, I think it's Mary.
Oh, is it Mary? I just said Mari because that's
Mari. Yes.
What I thought, but I don't know actually.
Yes. Mari Walker. And it's also written by Mari Walker and Kristen Uno. And this was not like semi-autobiographical, but Mari Walker is also trans. I didn't realize that. Which obviously like you wouldn't know unless you like look it up. And I had to look up like a couple of articles before I realized that, because I think my own bias is to go to like the actors
in a
film and like their you know, interviews and stuff like that. But Mari says that this whole script came out of this conversation that she was having with a group of women about defining womanhood and what that means. So it's just, it's interesting that, you know, this concept came out of, you know, a conversation, you know, of course that took place in one night. And for the most part, this whole movie takes place in one night.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And just like, you can't define womanhood in one evening.
Yeah.
You can't define womanhood in 90 minutes.
True.
In a 90 minute film either. So,
but you can play around with the idea.
You could play around with the idea.
I guess is what they were all doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I probably wouldn't watch it again.
I also wouldn't watch it again, but I also wouldn't deter people from watching it.
Yeah, I agree. Just because like, I feel like it definitely raised my cortisol level and I was like, I'm stressed watching this film and this is not how I imagined it would be. And I am a little angry for having expectations.
I know. It was because of Saving Face. That's why we had those expectations.
So true.
And it's sad. Truly a tragedy.
Why am I like this to myself?
You're not alone if it makes you feel any better.
So yeah, I think at the very least, check out your local film festival circuit to just support them. And if this movie is available to you, watch it.
Yeah, why not? I'm sure it'll be available for streaming at some point too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
No, I enjoyed having this conversation with you, Alicia. That's my last thought.
Thank you. I also enjoyed having this conversation with you too.
Thank you.
Period.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I guess keep it hella gay. Gay! Why am I like this? We'll be right back. Oh yeah. My God, I forgot to talk about the most important part.
What? What?
I gotta edit this in.
Okay.
All right, maybe I won't. But the end, the way that the title is See You Then, the way it appears on the screen is Then You See.
Mind blown.
Anyway,
truly the most important part aside from the vagina darts.